Where we left off last week, we kind of touched on was step eight. We finished that, and then step nine is very similar. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on step nine because we covered it in step eight. But step eight is make a list of all the persons we harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So it's an inner thing. So that I sat down and I structured out all the different people that I've harmed throughout my lifetime. And then step nine is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so could cause harm to you or to others. And that's where we touched on in Romans chapter 12. He says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And I like this verse not only for everyone else, but for us too. All men, all mankind, be at peace with all mankind. What does he tell me? He's saying, be at peace with yourself as well. Amen. Because I am also of mankind and I am one of the men that he's discussing. Right? But he says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. So what's that mean? That means that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything that's happened to me up to this point has got to be a wash. I can no longer hold this against them. I can no longer walk every day with this frustration against my dad or my mom or my sister or my friends or my girlfriend that screwed me over. Whatever it is, you know. I mean, we carry these grudges with us forever. And he says, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. But then in the specific circumstance, it may be something that I have done very wrong to someone. It wouldn't be beneficial for me to call them up and rub it in, right? Man, we get that. There's got to be some common sense to this. I'm not going to hash out old problems because I'm not going to cause another man to stumble. But if, in fact, God puts them in my path, somehow, I'm going to be at peace no matter what. Amen? Right? Now, you got to put your guns away. You know it's over with. That's part of that. So Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone except love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. You know, Ezekiel 33. If a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has been taken, but walks by the statutes to even ensure his life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins of which he committed will be remembered against him, and his practices of righteousness and justice, he shall surely live. This is Ezekiel's Old Testament teaching. But I want to focus on the principle of what he's talking about. He's saying if a wicked man, which is me, amen, right, 15 years ago, a wicked man makes a pledge and pays back what he has taken, walks by the statutes to ensure this life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. That's a wonderful promise to each and every single person out there that no longer feels that they're good enough. Amen? Because the first thing the devil does is tell you that you're not good enough. That's what he told me. There's no turning back now. You're not turning this around. Look where you're at right now. You can't turn this around. Look who you've become. Look where you're at. You can't do it. Amen. Right? And then that little voice in your mind says, I've gone too far. I can't change. I'll just accept the way I am and do it like I do it because that's what I do. Right? But that's not right because God says, you know, when we stop for a minute and pause and look at our actions and turn them towards God and start moving in that right direction, that he's patient with us. Well, why can't I accept his word? Who is it? Who's telling me that God's not patient with me? Me or God? Because God's scripture says that he's going to work with me. Amen? Amen. Right? So who's telling me that he's not going to? Amen. It's either me or the devil or my good buddies that don't want me to flip, you know, or change or go in the right direction. Want to keep me involved because I'm beneficial to them. Because as long as I keep staying at that functioning tool, they can keep drawing off of me. Amen. Right? Yes or no? I mean, are you not aware of that? Right? You're my best friend when you're useful to me. But when you let me down, what are you?
Nothing.
Right? So that comes clear right away from time to time. Philippians chapter 2, though. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also as the interest of others. You know, so your apology may be what sets them free. I mean, how many days have you walked holding over some specific person in your mind that made amends over a long term? Were you released from that? Right? And how many people do you rightfully have that over? Like, how many people have done some things to you to where you've kept that? They owe you for this. And you keep it on them because that's your way of controlling to make sure that they never forget what they did to you. But the verse here in Philippians says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than myself. I can't hold you accountable if I'm doing that. Amen? I can't exploit what you've been through if I'm following the scripture, because the scripture is teaching me how to forgive. The scripture is teaching me how to think godly through forgiveness, because at the end of the day, he's got a list so far on me, you guys can't read it before you pass away. Right? How can I keep that list against you if he's willing to blot out this list against me? Step 10. Continue to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. Now this is powerful, because many of us, no matter what, will not admit that we're wrong. You know, I've ran into different types of people. I think that I've been in that situation before in my life where no matter what, red-handed, you know, do you got the, nope, I don't have the cup. I don't have it. You know, you're looking right at me. I got it in my hand, but I ain't got it. I didn't do it. I'm like, no matter what, I'm not owning up to this, you know. But it's different when you start to take an inventory and I start dissecting myself and thinking about what is my moral integrity? What is the inner making of me that makes me who I am? And begin to start thinking about this, because when I don't and I overlook it, then I'm really digressing. This is really introspection in its finest. So we say continue to make a personal inventory, and where I'm wrong, promptly admit it. So because here's the deal. As long as I'm telling myself that I'm not wrong, I'm not going to address that issue. As long as I haven't admitted to myself yet that this is not right in my life, then I've already decided to carry it along with me. Right? But let me tell you, well, you know, I can go out with my buddies. I can drink on the weekends. I only have a couple beers. We only do this. We only do that. I mean, how many different styles of justification have you tricked yourself into before? Right? I mean, you know, so you just tell yourself any little bitty thing that to make it all good. So that way it's all good. But in reality of it all, that's still part of that denial, that if I don't realize that I have to have that, if there's anything in my life that I have to have other than God, then I have to look at it and think to myself, is this a hindrance to my faith? Amen? Right? I love muscle cars and motorcycles. You guys know me well, fast and loud. Love every bit of it. But if that ever came in between the growth of my spirituality and my faith, then that would be a hindrance to me. As well as drug addiction and alcoholism and violence and pride and money. What do you want to put in the slot? It all fits. It doesn't matter what it is. If I put it before God, then it's going to affect me. I have to take an inventory of when I'm wrong and start admitting it. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, let therefore him who thinks he stands take heed lest he not fall. I love this verse. So the answer is, in 2 Corinthians 10:12, he said, for we are not as bold as to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves by the measure that they measure themselves to themselves, compare themselves to themselves. They are void of understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere of what God has apportioned to us. Now, when we talk about this, he said, we're not going to be as bold or to class or compare ourselves with those of us who commend themselves by comparing themselves. So what's he saying? So as long as we're good, it don't matter what you guys think. If I keep comparing myself to the neighbor or to my buddies or whoever it may be, then my mindset is on each other rather than God. So if I put my hope in my friendship or my direction in my friendship, or I start patting myself on the back, such a good guy I am every day because my buddies say, well, yeah, he's a good guy. He does all that. He does that. I feel good about myself. Paul said, we're not going to be so bold as to compare ourselves to anyone or say that we're better than we are, but only to the portion of what God has given me. He said, specifically, he said, the measure of the sphere of which God has apportioned to us. And what does that mean? That means God has something for each and every single person in this world. And it's a measurable something. And he gives it to each and every single one of us. And that's what we compare ourselves to. Because today I may have the ability to speak, but tomorrow I may have the ability to share. Tomorrow I may have the ability to forgive. Tomorrow I may have the ability to show that love. Because when you talk about the talents, God gave 1 to 1, 2 to 1, 5 to another. Everybody that was responsible that what was given more. So anytime you get within that sphere of what God has given to you, He grows it. And He grows you through that. Amen?
Amen.
So He says, I'm not going to be bold and brag about where I am, who I am, or what I've done. I'm only going to focus on where God has me right now and continue to grow that so I'm more effective in this ministry. Amen? Does that make sense? Paul's a beast. I love Paul. I just sit there and read that 89 times. Psalms 19 says, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of my hidden faults. And that's David. He's just saying, you know, how do I know when I'm wrong? What if I don't know that I'm wrong? And he's saying, Lord, forgive me for the things that I don't know about and bring them to my attention so that I can have them addressed. Proverbs 21, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. That's a good verse, because each and every single one of us justify what we do. We justify what we say. We justify why we did it. Amen? We justify it to ourselves, to our friends, to our others. It's all this justification and painting the picture perfect that kind of starts to mess us up. And he says that every man's right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. So at the end of the day, no matter what happens, God can see the inner me of why I do what I do, who I am, what I become, why I am that, right? Which is really phenomenal if I'm in the right mindset, because my right mindset is, A, God, I don't believe I'm good enough for you because of everything I've been through, but yet you told me that I am, so I'm going to accept that and move away from that and now move towards where you're going to take me. And now that I understand that I'm good enough for you because of you, where are we going to go? Right? Don't let me be prideful in my own eyes. Don't let me build up my character and brag about myself. Continue to shape and mold me and grow me in that direction. Amen?
Amen.
Step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. I love this. I love this step. Basically, I broke it. I said, praying for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. That's kind of how that speaks to me. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Let me ask you this. If you're walking along or working along or driving along, if you're listening to scriptures or speaking to God or you're in the middle of prayer, how much of a threat are you really to someone else? Right? I read this book once. It said, practice the presence of God. And I was thinking to myself, if I could practice the presence, it doesn't mean that I'm going to consume my mind of God for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm human. I can't do that. It would be awesome, but my mind reflects back to people in my way, stuff I got to get done, everything on my schedule, and my flesh just takes back over immediately. I'm on it. You know what I'm saying? You're out here. You know what it's like. You would think to yourself that I would like to think about God 24 hours a day, but I don't know one human being in this room that could say that they've done it. Right? Because you live in this flesh. But in this, praying for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out, in the idea that we have a constant contact with God. I am of the opinion that if I was able to put myself at bay and be conscious of God at all times, I would exceptionally be better at carrying this out. Amen. Right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Because I'm not praying to God when I'm sinning. I'm not praying to God when I'm running people over on the highway. I'm not praying to God when I'm frustrated at work. I'm not praying to God when my kids make their, you know, mistake over and over and over and over again. I'm operating in the flesh. But if I have a constant thought process that God is with me all the time, which I know that He is, and I try to walk this out probably more so than the other man that you run into. But I just have to understand that this is such a powerful thing. I'll tell you why. Proverbs 16:20. He who gives attention to the word will find good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. So in this verse, if I'm giving my attention to the word, it's improving my contact. I'm finding good. Whereas most of the time, if I'm chasing off after my own desire, then I'm separating myself to seek my own desire, which is what Proverbs states. But if I'm moving towards God, I'm moving towards good things. It said you'll get good contact. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. That improves my faith. So that when I do think about God and I see these challenges in front of me, when I'm conscious of God, I'm more likely to be patient. Amen. I'm more likely to allow God to be at work in my life rather than just take the reins and take control of this. Because for how long have we been in control of our own lives? We want to be in control. People naturally want to control every single thing that's on their plate. We want to have the reins. We want to be, and it's such an uncomfortable feeling to go, okay, God, here's a problem right in front of me that I know that I can smash right now by cutting this corner. Or I can pray about it and then put faith in you to see you remove this obstacle from my life and see how you bring me away from this. Even though I'm frustrated right now, even though I'm challenged right now, even though I see a way out, because I can measure the angles. I've been measuring ways out since I was this tall. Amen. Right? So you can run the numbers. You can know your angles, but then you also know when you're shaving that itty bitty bit of integrity today, where you got to cut that corner to make it happen. You got to cut that corner to make it happen. And you cut another corner to make it happen. Now you don't have any more corners left to cut. You got circles. You can cut that in half. Amen? And you wake up and you just say, how did I get here? How did I get here? And it's so simple because you go all the way back to that prayer and that meditation to keep in constant contact with God so that when I'm paying attention to the Lord, He can bring me in the right direction even when my body doesn't want to go. Amen? Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Amen? You don't need to elaborate on that, right? How many times will I say it? Go in your room, shut your door, nobody else around, on my knees, this is where I'm at, God. I don't have to butter it up. I have to put a little cinnamons on it. I'm just going to be honest. Lord, I'm suffering right now. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm suffering, I'm frustrated, I've been through all this, you know how I am. You know I'm a violent, angry man. I don't know how you removed it from me, but he's still in here. And I gotta kick him out, kick him out, kick him out. Here it is, it's on the table. In Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Philippians 4:6, now check this out. Contrary to everything we do on a daily basis. Be anxious for nothing. I've already failed. Be anxious for nothing. You know? I mean, that's that conscious thought of God having my back. You know, that no matter what's in front of me, I'm not anxious about it. No matter what's going on in my life or whether I understand it, I know that it's starting to pan out. I'm angry about it. I'm sad about it. I'm frustrated about it. I don't understand it. But I'm not going to be anxious about it. Amen? That's a powerful verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That is powerful, man. I'm going to tell you another thing. A lot of us will carry on that torch and suffer, and we don't even pray about it. We don't even pray about it. We just wake up frustrated every day, deal with it every day, and then don't even take it in the room and shut the door and say, God, what is going on with this? You know?
The beauty of that verse, and that's one of my favorites. It says, be anxious about nothing, but then it goes on. It doesn't leave it there so you bury your head in the sand like it ain't there. It tells you something to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to God.
Yeah.
And then at the very last part of that verse, it says, it'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that is true. When it says it surpasses all understanding, I don't understand why I'm at peace. I still see the problems that I still have. I still got cancer. But I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the peace that God gives you.
Amen.
And that comes from instead of worrying about it, take it to Him and pray about it.
Amen.
That works.
Philippians 4:6. And then leads out, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So here's the deal. You know, I mean, if you're my good friend and I don't tell you what's going on with me, you know, how are you going to know? Right? If I don't communicate with you, how are you going to help me with it? But yet, I'm talking about God, who already knows and is waiting for me. Right? It's like, oh, this time you carried it 62 days before you snapped and brought it in here to talk about it, you know? How's that working out for you? Obviously bad, because I'm in here praying about it right now. But, you know, he said, let your request be known to God. And that's that verse we talked about earlier. He said, I am God. I sit up high to dwell with the lowly, to dwell with the contrite. So that's what an amazing thing to think that the creator of the entire universe sits as high as he can be because he is who he is, but yet is concerned about us personally. Amen? Romans 12.
Then it also says, if you continue reading that verse, after you let your peace be, your problem be known to God, it says, the peace of God shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When you have a peaceful heart, you're not concerned with exterior things. You're concentrating on spiritual things. If you're concentrating on spiritual,
which makes perfect sense, because the more I focus my mind and heart on Jesus, the less I hunger and stress for all the things of the world, right? But I mean, you know, there's a powerful principle there. But Romans 12 here says, do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, and that's that. This is the contrary nature of this step and where we've been through up until this point. Do not be conformed to the world. The world, the implication of the world, the direction of the world, the influence and the pressure of the world will no longer influence my decision making. Amen? That is a powerful thing to understand. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. And that's an interesting thing to talk about when you talk about the will of God and the will of God being active in your life. Because some of us that have been around for a little while, that's gone through it, but then gotten a taste of God, have had a taste of a different life. Amen? A life that doesn't quite make sense or fit in from the previous history of what we've been through. And that's that peace of God that guards our mind and our hearts. It's living in that life. Now we got step 12 here. He says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and addicts to practice these principles in all of our affairs. So basically what he's saying in 12 is, I've had a spiritual awakening. I've had a change because of these steps. Now, each and every single one of us has gotten a copy of these steps. We're currently working on something to do more with them. But here is the verses and the steps with these. We would, as a group, encourage you to take these home and question yourself. Amen? Question yourself by yourself with no one else's influence and ask yourself and God where you are on each one of these steps and see where you go. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what he thinks. It only matters with where you are in your relationship with God. Amen? And this is part of that change. And Luke 8:16 says, now no one, after lighting the lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under the bed, but he puts the lamp on the stand for those to see the light. So take care of how you listen, for whoever has more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he does not have, will be taken away from it. And that's funny when he's talking about the love and light of God in your life. He said, if you had a lamp and we wanted to light the whole room up, how many of us put the lamp under the table? Right? We put the lamp under the table to light the room up, or do we put it up high? He's saying, fix that idea to your understanding of your awakening in Christ. In that, if there is light, if there's an awakening, if there's a change, if there's growth in your life, shine that light to others everywhere. Don't hide it in the table. Oh, I met this group on Monday night. I had something affect me. There's a verse that's speaking to me a little bit. I might be having a piece of change. What am I going to do? I'm going to hide it in my pocket until it goes away, or I'm going to tell my buddy about it. Share that good news. Right? So, and that's kind of also the idea of getting together and spending time together, in that when this testimony goes around the room, it speaks to everybody. Amen? Right? Two completely different people never met before in their life, other bumping into each other once a Monday, speaking to each other spiritually through life's experiences is not a coincidence. Amen? It's not. Then your testimony and sharing your testimony and your change is also not a coincidence. Mark Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. Carry the message. Amen. Psalm 71. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. He's saying that my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day long, for I don't know the sum of them. He's saying he's come to the understanding that God is so great to him that he can't even measure the greatness of God in his life. So therefore, he can't even label them. But the one thing that he will do is he'll be outwardly thankful for them to everyone else and share that word. Psalm 88, you have removed my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an object of loathing to them. I am shut up and cannot go. But here's the deal. A lot of times when you go through these steps and you go through these changes, you feel isolated. But let me be here to tell you that you're removed for that purpose. That removal and that sanctification, that cleansing of that removal from that uncomfortableness has a purpose. Amen? Because when you talk about chaff, which we don't have a lot of time to talk about, but we're talking about spiritual faith and maturity in comparison to the growth of wheat or corn. And that there's an outer portion that protects it that's necessary for growth. But when it reaches a point that it's ready to grow further beyond that point, it has to shed the chaff. And the chaff was necessary. It was a part of its life. It was a part of its growth. But it's not a part of its maturity. And when you think about your life and the things that you go through and why they don't make sense all the time, it's because sometimes things were meant to be in your life. But then they were meant to be removed from your life so that you can be mature wheat in the kingdom. Amen? We don't question why things happen to us constantly just because it's uncomfortable. Sometimes that's the natural progression of our growth. Amen? Does that make sense? I lost you guys. It's okay if I lost you. You can say that. Don't be quiet right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things passed away. Behold, all new things can come. A leader, a family, who you are today, everything you've been before does not have to predict who you are tomorrow. Amen. Amen? It's zero accountability for that. When we come into Christ, it says, if anyone has come into Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, new things have come. Romans 2:21 says, you therefore teach one another. Do you not teach yourself? You who preach, do not steal, do you steal? You who say we do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? The thing is proving to be examples of the flock. And Peter, lead by example. Amen. The strongest thing that we can do in these verses and in this word is when we begin to learn about it and we begin to walk it out, is to walk it out. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm ready to do it. Amen? Right? I mean, you can tell the difference with somebody that's just talking and somebody that's just doing, yes or no. How many times have you lived the life of when you were just talking compared to when you were doing? Amen? He said here, go to your people and report to them the great things of what the Lord has done to you. And he comes back and says, you therefore who teach one another, do you not teach yourself? He's saying that if I'm called by this word and I'm called by the scripture and this is the direction of my life, then I have to walk it to make it work. Amen. One more for you. 1 John 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the word, and there is the victory that has overcome the word, our faith. See, faith in God restores faith in us, in family, in future. And if we walk by the faith, then we do not walk by sight. We have to think about this, proving to be examples of your flock. He said, for this love of God, that we keep his commandments, and that the commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And what's that tell me? The more I move into this scripture, the harder I work these steps, the more I align my life in this faith, the more that I'm going to succeed. If anybody's sitting around, they're asking themselves, what's the answer today? How am I going to succeed? The scripture specifically states, the more you align myself with me, the more you will succeed. Amen? Amen. All right.